From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is a beautiful Friday, July 18th. Welcome to another edition of Current Sports. I am Matt Ludke, filling in for the last time for Al Martin, who is still on vacation, probably sipping Mai Tais, hanging out with his dog. I don't know. Alex Shark joins me in the booth today. We will be talking a little bit of everything. Cavaliers making Andrew Wiggins available. The British Open's going on a bit overseas. We've got the Lakers picking up Carlos Boozer. T-Mac hanging him up in his second sport. Oh boy, lots to talk about today, but first, as always, let's kick things off with our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Alex, take it away.
Happy Friday, sports fans. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Friday, July 18th. First off, in an unbelievable story from an East Lansing native, Matt O'Glue of East Lansing finished first in the Great Lansing Honor Roll meet despite an iron deficiency. The deficiency comes from a lack of iron in the lungs, which allows oxygen to get into the muscles precisely. She followed up her performance at the Great Lansing Honor Roll meet with a school record time in the Division I state finals at Rockford High School. Lansing United, on the other hand, is gearing up for the biggest weekend in franchise history. Archer Stadium is expected to sell out for the opening rounds of the NPSL playoffs this weekend, with Lansing United facing the Minnesota United Reserves on Saturday with a chance to advance to the NPSL Regional Championship on Sunday. The Cleveland Cavaliers have made number one draft pick Andrew Wiggins available in trade talks with the Minnesota Timberwolves, according to leaked sources. Timberwolves star Kevin Love had hinted he would be interested in joining the Cavs if they were able to bring in LeBron James, which they did late last week. Reports also indicate that LeBron has talked to Kevin Love recently, presumably to help facilitate a deal. To the British Open, Rory McIlroy still leads the Open at 8 under par as the second round takes place today. Other notables include Sergio Garcia trailing McIlroy by 2 strokes, Jim Furyk in 4th at 5 under, and Ricky Fowler also tied at 4th with Furyk. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson both at even par. We'll keep you updated throughout the show. Just days after forward Carlos Boozer was cleared off the Chicago Bulls roster on amnesty waivers, the LA Lakers picked up Boozer from a silent bidding. The amnesty waivers list allowed silent bidding from teams with salary cap space, and the Lakers outbid all interested teams. Boozer averaged 13 points and 8 rebounds per game last season, which were the lowest in both categories since his rookie season. And in other baseball news, after former NBA star Tracy McGrady struck out the only batter he faced in the Atlantic Independent League All-Star Game, he has officially decided to hang up the cleats. McGrady made his minor league debut as a pitcher for the Independent League Sugar Land Skeeters and logged a 6.23 ERA in the Independent League over 6 2/3 innings. McGrady announced his retirement from professional basketball in August to pursue his dream for a career in baseball. At the opening ceremony of the San Francisco 49ers' brand new home stadium, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell hinted that the facility may serve as the Raiders' new home as well. The Raiders and Oakland A's have shared the Coliseum for decades and are the last MLB and NFL clubs to share a facility. The Raiders' lease ends after the season and are reportedly prepared to tear down the stadium and build a new one. Levy Stadium, the $1.2 billion state-of-the-art home of the Niners in Santa Clara, at the south end of the bay. Roger Goodell also announced that the 2015 NFL draft will be held at one of two possible sites, Chicago or Los Angeles. The draft, which has taken place in New York since 1965, has received strong bids from the two major cities. Those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Friday, July 18th. Time to send it back to Matt for his last show. The lines are now open.
Thank you, Alex. Well done. And yes, it is my last show. Oh, boy. It might get emotional later in the show, but we're going to try and hold things together at least until the last segment. Feel free to give us a call if you want to talk about anything going on in the world of sports. 517-355-9527. Alex joins me behind the booth. He's putting on his headphones right now. Alex, let's kick things off and let's talk about probably the biggest news. It's the biggest NBA subplot after the really biggest NBA subplot got taken care of. And that was LeBron. Where would he end up? Goes back to Cleveland. And that just opened the door for so many different interesting things. We kind of hinted at it last Friday when LeBron's announcement first came out. But now it's starting to pick up steam. And the Cleveland Cavaliers have announced that they are willing to trade number one pick Andrew Wiggins for Minnesota Timberwolves forward Kevin Love. Now, let's just, you know, put ourselves in Dan Gilbert's shoes here, who is, of course, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, the Quicken Loans billionaire. If you're Dan Gilbert, do you trade Andrew Wiggins, and I'm sure a bunch of other stuff, for Kevin Love?
I would argue, actually, Matt, that the biggest subplot, aside from LeBron, was Carmelo Anthony.
But that got resolved, too. I'm lumping that in with all this stuff. That's old news.
All right. Well, with Wiggins, I look at it in two ways. You could either win now or win later. And I think that if you stick with Wiggins and you piece him together with James as like the big two over there, I mean, I think that's, well, I guess you can make that the big three with Kyrie. But if you piece him with the big three, I think Wiggins won't really have the same effect that Love can, considering he's kind of the same position as LeBron. The typical three spot. With Love, you get more depth out of a forward center with Varejao. So I think that Love is the better fit here, aside from the pick. I think that they'll have to probably throw in something else.
Oh, yeah.
Other than a straight-up Wiggins for Love. But if you're talking about getting the most winnable team right now, Love is your best bet.
Right. It's a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And you don't know.
I'll miss those sayings, Matt.
Right? That was always something that I enjoyed bringing to the show. But, you know, you have a guy, a proven all-star, Olympic gold medalist. He's played with LeBron before for Team USA, and they had great success, obviously. You know, top 10 player in the league, I would say Kevin Love is. I mean, you know, nobody puts up better scoring and rebounding numbers and shoots the three as efficiently as Kevin Love does. I mean, he's a one-of-a-kind player. He really is. But it's so tempting to just roll the dice with Andrew Wiggins. I mean, you have a guy, you know, and Bill Simmons wrote about this. Like, this could be the best thing that ever happened to Andrew Wiggins, is LeBron James going back and kind of being that mentor to him. I mean, is there anyone else you could imagine?
Does he need a mentor?
Absolutely.
I think he's ready to play right now.
He's athletically ready to play right now, for sure. But, I mean, he shrunk in big moments at Kansas. I mean, he did nothing in the game where they got eliminated by Stanford in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but that was...
And you're telling me a guy who's going to score two or four points in his last college game is ready to dominate the NBA?
No, but that's the point is, with Wiggins, you don't have the three-point ability, you don't have the rebound ability, there's no proven numbers rather than a guy that's just athletic.
But
and that's NBA ready.
He's freakishly athletic. That's the thing.
But so was Ben Wallace.
Well, yeah, and Ben Wallace is an NBA champion and was the best defensive player in the league for, I don't know, a good five-year stretch. I mean, and Andrew Wiggins has the potential to be that. He's already an elite defender, and that's the thing that the athleticism gives him. But, I mean, could you imagine a better teammate to start things off with? I'm going to teach you how to be dominant. Hi, I'm LeBron. Like, that's insane. What an opportunity for Wiggins there. And people are comparing them maybe to, you know, the next kind of Jordan and Pippen. I mean, you have LeBron and Andrew Wiggins on the wings. That's terrifying. Both offensively and defensively. I mean, LeBron throwing Andrew Wiggins oops.
I think that Wade and LeBron is more terrifying than Wiggins and LeBron. I think from an athletic standpoint, it's terrifying. But from an actual playmaking standpoint, Wade can do more than Wiggins.
Right. But going forward, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think you might have 1 or 2 years tops where that is the case. But after that, I mean, Andrew Wiggins is going to continue to get better. And I think, you know, that process can only be, you know, exponentially increased if he has a teammate like LeBron James. I mean, that's such a huge factor in a you know, a young player's growth is having the right teammates. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine a better guy to have than LeBron.
Yeah, but say they go with Wiggins, they keep him there.
Yep.
LeBron signs for 2 years. Remember that. It's only 2 years on his contract.
It is only 2 years.
So he signs for 2 years. Wiggins still develops. LeBron's mentoring him. They don't win the first 2 years. If they don't win with Wiggins there, everyone's going to come back and say, oh, they should have traded for Love. They should have traded for this guy.
Definitely.
So the point of the matter is you just want to have LeBron win at least once when he's there. Because if he doesn't win, who knows? Maybe he'll go back to Miami. And then the whole LeBron back home is going to be skewed again.
He is not going back to Miami.
So regardless, I say that for the future of Cleveland and for LeBron staying there, they need to win at least once in these first 2 years. Is that agreed upon? You don't think that they need to win in the first 2 years of
his
contract?
In the first 2 years, I don't know. Because the only reason he signed a two-year deal is so he can re-sign once the TV deal gets struck and make even more money, which is smart. I mean, LeBron, if you're going to say anything about LeBron, even if you hate him, he's a smart businessman.
Right, but to throw a little saying at you, don't count your eggs before they hatch.
This is true.
And just because the TV deal is there doesn't mean he will come back.
Oh, he's coming back. I don't think there's any way after what he wrote in Sports Illustrated that he would go anywhere else. He's going to retire a Cavalier. He's going to stay there forever. Barring something unforeseen, he is going to stay there. So I think he's just waiting for that TV deal money.
Yeah, but Matt, something unforeseen could be so... It could be losing the first 2 years. It could be, what if they don't come in the top three? What if they finish fourth or fifth in the East each year, and then they lose? That warrants him to maybe rethink his decision.
He might have to rethink it.
It's Cleveland all over again.
I don't think it's going to change his mind, though. I think Dan Gilbert would have to put up a big Comic Sans billboard that says, get out LeBron.
But
that would be it. Matt, I mean, he's going to have to go so far over the line to drive this guy out of town.
Man, it's the curse of Cleveland.
It's intangible, man.
You're right. It's really the curse of Cleveland. If he doesn't win the first 2 years when he has a team literally built around him, I can foresee him leaving.
I just don't see it. I don't think he can back down after what he wrote. We have a caller on line one, Apachu. You are on Current Sports. Go ahead, sir.
Matt, can I ask you where you're going? Or can we ask you where you're going?
I am headed to San Francisco.
And what are you going to do there? Are you going to be on radio again?
Hopefully, okay, looking for opportunities now.
Well, that's your calling, brother. I'm your number one fan. I really appreciated your independent thought, and you were well-versed and well-prepared for the material that you were going to talk about, and I want to say thank you very, very much, man. I wish you well.
Oh, Pachu, you're going to make me blush.
I'm happy for Alex, because now he gets to get off that bench and take care of business. So, Alex, get ready, man. But, good experience for you guys, man. I wish you luck, brother.
Oh, I appreciate it, Apachu. Thank you. You have always been a great caller forever. You always have good things to say. You stimulate the conversation, and I think they might lean on you here for a little bit. Yep. We're going to need those outside opinions.
And Apachu, Matt was talking about potentially going to San Francisco to work under Roger Goodell and convince him why the new Niners stadium should be separate. I don't know if you heard about that, Apachu.
No, I haven't. You know what? I don't listen to sports like I used to. I listen to you guys because it's during work.
Right.
Okay, and I think you guys got a nice format. You guys are young. You guys are being trusted with material by your superiors, and that's cool, and I think you do a good job. And I listen to some of the other talk shows, and I think they're politically motivated. I think there's too much personality, and you guys just lay it down and talk about the good stuff. So that's the only time I expose the sports. So if you guys don't talk about it, I don't know about it.
Right.
I don't watch ESPN anymore too much unless there's big games like Oregon and Michigan State or Michigan and somebody else. But other than that, I really don't pay attention like I used to. So there's a lot of stuff I stay out of. But you guys do create some interesting information and topics, and I really appreciate that. But so you're going to go to Goodell and tell them what?
Oh, I'm just going to tell them everything. I'm gonna try and get in on the inside, maybe be an inside man working in the NFL. You know, if it's going to change, it's got to be from within.
Well, I don't know, man. I think that had to come without on the outside.
It's gonna be an uphill battle regardless.
Yeah. Well, you better stay low, man. First, you got to get in that crack and get in position. You know, put your foot in the door.
I hear you.
Like that brother in L.A. who has this talk show Rome.
Right.
Jim Rome went there. He's a little humble, and then when he got everybody hooked on him, he's out of control, man. He's out of his mind.
It's true.
But, good luck, brother. I wish you well, man.
And
I learned a lot from you guys. Take care.
Well, thank you, Apachu. That was a great call. Anybody else wants to say nice things like Apachu, feel free to call. If you don't have as nice of things to say, you can keep it to yourself. 517-355-9527. And yeah, Alex, you know, maybe I should talk to Roger Goodell. He needs somebody in his ear to tell him that he is quickly, you know, cementing his legacy as the most reviled owner, or commissioner rather, in sports. I mean, Gary Bettman has long held the throne, and Bud Selig is maybe the king's hand there. But Roger Goodell, boy oh boy, he's charging. And the new announcement, you know, Levi's Stadium, state-of-the-art, $1.2 billion stadium, built for the 49ers. The seats, the whole facade is red and gold. And he suggested that the Oakland Raiders could potentially make that their new home stadium. Now, they play at the Oakland Coliseum. They share it with the A's. Like you said in the Quick Hit Headliners, they're the only baseball and football franchises to share a facility. Having the Raiders move into the 49ers' new stadium, I think, is a huge mistake. I think if there's a franchise that has proven time and time again that it loves Oakland and that community, it is the Raiders. And I don't know if there's a city that embraces their team through thick and thin like Oakland does with the Raiders.
Well, hold on, Matt. First of all, California itself has three NFL teams. Three. So when you think about that, you can see financially why they could combine the two teams. From a financial standpoint, it makes sense. From a fan standpoint, putting the Oakland Raiders with the Niners, and as much as you could leave the Oakland Raiders with the A's in the Coliseum right now, the MLB and NFL scheduling is just a pain to deal
right.
with. So that's kind of why listeners, if you did not know, why they're considering moving Oakland there. One, to combine them for scheduling. Two, financially. Three, to keep it in the same league, since the A's and the Raiders are the only NFL and MLB team to still share a stadium. So for that reason, I get it. But from a fan standpoint, it's a disaster, Matt. I mean, can you imagine if you're an Oakland Raiders fan, you walk in there and
you're looking up at, you know, young Jerry Rice. I can't believe I mentioned him first because he played
the Raptors,
both teams.
Yeah.
But you know, Steve Young, Joe Montana,
because then there's the
Ronnie
argument.
Lott.
You got the argument always that Gannon and Brown versus Rice and Young. I mean, that's always going to be there too. So what I'm wondering even is, I mean, if you're a player on that team and that's a rivalry there, if you're a player on the Niners, I mean, we've seen snakes in locker rooms before magically appear. We have no idea how snakes have appeared in LeBron James's locker, or who knows? I mean, there are tons of weird locker room experiences and animals and critters that sneak their way into locker rooms. So somehow, Matt, through the ceilings, through the floors, live rattlesnakes in lockers, there's no way that that's not going to happen at Oakland and San Francisco
if
they share.
You know, it wouldn't be the only two franchises to share a stadium, because the Jets and the Giants share MetLife at the Meadowlands. But that's a little bit different because it's not plastered with, you know, Giants and or Jets history, you know? That's not, like, built into the facility like it is at Levi's. It just seems like, you know, and you know, this is what kind of people are reading between the lines on this one and seeing that this is maybe Goodell hinting that, hey, maybe we should move the Raiders back to Los Angeles. And that's the elephant in the room, is that L.A., what, the second biggest media market in the country behind New York, doesn't have a professional football team. That's been on the docket for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, but then you come to the count, well, what happens with the A's? The A's stay there? Do you move the A's back to Oakland, too? You got Dodgers and A's.
Well, and the other interesting thing is that the A's want to renew their lease and stay at the Coliseum. When the Raiders are thinking, let's tear this thing down and rebuild it, So it's interesting that, you know, the two clubs that currently share it have different plans for what they want to do with it in the future. And there's always that you know, emergency exit where maybe the Raiders do get, you know, moved under the cover of night down to L.A. They become the L.A. Raiders again. And, you know, then Los Angeles has a football team. You know, California still maintains their three-team level. Would you mind the L.A. Raiders, or do you want them to stay in Oakland?
I wouldn't mind them. I think that moving there is probably better considering the management that they've had over there for years. The troubles of the Raiders the last 10 years since Gannon. So it makes sense. I mean, when the L.A. Rams were around, I mean, they weren't that bad of a team until their later years. So I can kind of see why the move makes sense for media coverage and costs. But when I want to see the Raiders move, makes sense. But I don't know. I'm very stuck on them being in Oakland.
I like them being in Oakland, too. It has a nice ring to it. Even though L.A. Raiders sounds pretty cool. And people would be hyped up about it. I like the Oakland Raiders. There's something about them. And I like having two teams by the bay. You know, geographically, it's a little clustered there.
Good for you, too.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, I'm certainly not going to become a Raiders fan. As a lifelong Lions fan, I don't know what kind of, you know, sadist you'd have to be to put yourself through changing allegiances to the Raiders of all teams. As much as I dislike Jim Harbaugh, and I don't care for Colin Kaepernick or Michael Crabtree or any really of the current 49ers players other than maybe, I don't know, Patrick Willis. I don't think I could go through with being a Raiders fan. I really don't.
Just from the rafters alone?
Not even
looking
that.
Looking up to the rafters?
Just the state of the franchise. I've experienced enough losing in the NFL to fill, you know, double my lifetime. I don't need to pile on. You know, like, can you imagine the combined record of those two teams, the Lions and the Raiders, over the last few years?
Pitiful.
Pitiful. Yeah. It'd be the most depressing, you know, two teams to pick in terms of fandom.
Good luck, man.
Yeah, I might as well be a Bills fan, too. Just pile it on. Oh, boy. No. I think, you know, just for, you know, the proximity's sake, I think it's got to be the Niners. I think I got to go with the Niners. I don't know if I'll be cheering hard, because again, I do not care for Jim Harbaugh. That goes back to the Jim Schwartz Harbaugh near brawl at the end of that Lions-Niners game a few years ago. But still, I don't think I could ever be a Raiders fan.
Now, do you think it would be different if the Raiders were a winning team?
Sure.
You think the Raiders would stay if they're winning?
I'd still be scared to go to a game just from those terrifying fans, but it'd be a lot easier to, it's always easier to cheer for a winning team. Might not be as rewarding because, you know, they're always winning.
But then I'm going to call you fair weather, Matt.
Exactly. That'd be the thing. But, I just can't do it. I can't do it to myself. This is that chance in your life where you have an opportunity to change allegiances. Why would you stick with that? Why would you stick with what you know when all you know in football is misery? Can't do it. I can't justify it. As much as it would be, you know, maintaining that sports fan integrity, I don't need it. Give me the wins.
Oh, how about the hope, man? I mean, look, I'm a Cubs fan, and we could talk all about losing teams on the year, the air. I love the Cubs. I think it's ironic that they hang a W flag after every win, considering they've never won. So, for me, it's hope. It's a little bit of integrity, like you said. So for a team that has had misery with losing, it's just the hope that when they do win, that will be the triumphant, most
right,
energetic and best feeling in sports when they do. So it's kind of a hope of hanging on until they actually win for that.
So then you can say, I've been there since they were terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, you see all the time when fans come on television, football games, they're 100 years old. They've been going to games for 75 years, and then they get to see a win their last year. I mean, that's a great story in sports.
That's true. But you know what? I can still have that with the Lions. If the Lions ever win, I will be jumping for joy. I mean,
but the Lions don't have as long as a drought compared to other teams.
You know, they've never been to a Super Bowl.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, that wasn't even a Super Bowl, though. The Super Bowl wasn't even around yet. I think if the Lions ever win, I think that that fulfills my quota of cheering for a perennial loser and experiencing the high of all highs when they reach the pinnacle. Uh-oh. We have Brad Walker, resident Raiders fan, sliding into the studio. Have a seat anywhere. Go ahead. Are you going to teach me all about Oakland Raider fandom here?
I'm a White Sox fan.
Oh, gosh.
I'm a Raider fan.
Mm-hmm.
You live with it. You live with the pain for a long time.
It just seems so dark.
It is dark. Believe me, it's been very dark. I'm a Sixers fan.
Oh, my gosh.
It's dark.
There's no light at the end of the tunnel.
But I'll tell you what. I know it's been dark, but in 2005 when the White Sox won the World Series, it was the sweetest feeling in the entire world. It was great. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, for a long time, the Raiders were very good. But the last decade, it's been misery.
Oh, yeah.
Coupled with the Sixers, coupled with the White Sox. It's not been very good, but when it does happen, it's great.
So ultimately.
But you've got to be a if you're a fan, you got to stick with them. You can't. I don't like bandwagoners. See you later.
But moving, it has to at least somewhat justify. I mean, this is it. I'm a Bay Area free agent right now.
You are.
I can choose whoever.
And you should pick the 49ers.
I should.
You should.
Isn't that a no-brainer?
But you better walk in there with a San Francisco hat on first.
Ugh.
Like you've always been a fan.
Do I have to buy the Harbaugh Walmart khakis too?
Mock
turtlenecks?
You should. You wouldn't see me wearing that.
Okay.
No way. Even though I am wearing my khakis, but they're Brad's khakis,
right.
not Harbaugh's.
Not the Harbaugh
no.
line. Oh boy.
We wish you good luck, brother.
Thank you, Brad.
Have a great time out there.
I will.
We're going to miss you around here.
I'm going to miss it here.
But I'm hearing the Raider stuff, and I'm not hearing any Raider love, so I have to go. I have to have some Raider love.
You know, they got Khalil Mack.
They do.
But I'm used to seeing one individual on a team surrounded by.
And I look at it this way. It can't get any worse.
That's true. This would be the definition of buying low.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh man!
Maybe you should.
See, now you're
See,
talking.
Maybe you
maybe,
should.
Maybe I'm getting talked.
You can't
into
like Harbaugh.
I hate him.
You can't
I don't
like
hate
him.
I don't. I will take that back.
You can't
I
like
strongly
him.
Strongly dislike.
And Matt,
yeah,
how would you like to be?
We're gonna get John Gruden eventually back anyway. So
you get Chucky back. I'm on board.
Gruden,
you can call me a bandwagon if you want.
Gruden's too busy hanging in trailers analyzing quarterbacks.
Well, the thing about this guy is, if he comes back. He's going to be a great coach.
Oh, it's going to be
John
great.
Gruden.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Oh,
we want him back. So
yeah, no.
At least I do anyway.
I would too.
Yeah, it would be great.
Now, to give you a scenario, Matt, what if you're moving to L.A.?
I just had to bring in some Raider love.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I'm sure Raider Nation appreciates it too.
Oh, they do.
Because they don't get a lot of love from the outside.
I don't know if I would attend a Raider game. That'd be hard
See,
to do.
See, even you, as a Raiders fan, you wouldn't don the,
I'm sca-
the
I'm
weird
scared
pirate
to death.
Gear. And
I would be scared to death.
Okay.
So even though I've been a longtime Raider fan.
Right. So I can be a Raider fan from the bar.
You sure can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's not talk about Golden State quite yet, though. I'm not there yet.
Oh, I'm in on Golden State.
Well, just with Draymond.
Draymond.
Oh, absolutely. I root for Draymond. Absolutely.
Actually, I gotta tweet him and see if he needs like a personal assistant or something.
Exactly.
That'd be a great gig.
Oh, I know.
Draymond.
Well, he's been in the area. Why didn't
he's
you
been
say,
in the area? You know what? I should have gone.
You should have went to one of his games.
I should have.
Approached him.
Wow. Opportunity
with a business card.
Missed.
I know.
Draymond, I'll be your media expert.
Yeah.
Let me work for you. I can cook. Come on. I'm multi-talented,
I don't
Draymond.
Know if that's true.
It is.
It is?
It is.
All right.
I guarantee it. Oh, boy.
All right, man.
All right.
Have fun.
Let's hit our first break. Thank you to Brad Walker. Listen to him later this afternoon on All Things Considered. Alex, let's hit our first break. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More current sports after this. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Current Sports. I'm Matt Ludke. With me is Alex Sharg. Just got done with an impromptu chat with Brad Walker, host of All Things Considered here at WKAR. I've been asking Brad to be on the show since I started working on it, and he never has. He's always resisted. All it took was a little Raider bashing.
He did it when it counts.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you before the break, Matt, a scenario where if you're moving to Los Angeles, and we'll open this up for the callers too, but
okay.
Let's say you're moving to L.A., and it's the year where Donald Sterling gets removed. The tides are turning from Lakers to Clippers. That whole dynasty may change. I mean, it just sold for $2 billion.
Right. Well, it's in line.
In line.
Yeah. Okay.
I stand corrected. But if you're going to L.A. and you choose the winning team, which has been the Lakers for the last 20 years, 30 years, you choose the Lakers, and then this whole Donald Sterling thing happens, and then they're now in the glory, then what do you say? So why I bring this up, Matt, is with you moving to San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
if you become a Niners fan because they're winning, let's say Oakland relocates to L.A., they start winning. They're taking over the L.A. market. San Francisco starts to go down the drain. Then you look dumbfounded. So what I'm saying is, make sure, just because the Niners are winning, because you know you have your Niner hat on now,
right?
Don't let that fool you. I mean, you could be a victim of a total parallel switch in winning dynasties. You could go through 20 years of misery next week.
Right. Maybe I will change, you know, the cosmic balance of the Bay Area sports landscape. That's entirely possible. That is entirely possible. I mean, I've taken credit for, you know, Michigan State's football season because I was so close to the team, you know, being on the sidelines, being in the press box. I believe that my, you know, good vibes that I sent to the team were at least partly responsible for that 13-1 record Rose Bowl winning season. So who knows? Maybe I could have the reverse effect on the 49ers if I go to the Bay Area. Who knows? I mean, but at least, you know, history is still on the 49ers' side. I mean, they've certainly had some lulls. I mean, I don't think Mike Singletary is going to come back and coach them anytime soon. But, you know, they had Joe Montana. They had Steve Young. They're you know, resurgent right now. They've won tons of Super Bowls. I think that is a safe bet. The Niners are a safe bet.
What goes up must come down.
You're right. And I think the L.A. question is interesting in terms of basketball fandom. And, you know, listeners at home, you want to talk anything about fandom. You know, who would you root for in a market with two teams, one of which is historically successful and the other who maybe is kind of turning the tide of the rivalry? Give us a call, 517-355-9527.
More importantly, from listeners, when you switch fan, I want to hear from the listeners times where they moved somewhere or they became a new fan of a team, why they chose to be a fan. Was it because they were winning? Was it because they just had a relative there? Did you become a fan just because it just sounded cool? I mean, what was your reason for becoming a fan? 517-355-9527. Matt.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think if I go to L.A., well, hypothetically, do I have disposable income? Can I get season tickets? Or am I just going to be like a supporter?
Yeah, so you're asking what qualifies as a fan?
Not even that. If I have disposable income to buy season tickets, I am going to buy whichever set I can get for less. So whoever is more in the dumps, I will buy. You know, like for years, you know, the Lakers obviously sold out all their games. They were, you know, arguably the most, well, I don't even know if it's arguable. They're the most popular franchise in professional basketball, while the Clippers were, you know, the little brother. And you know, you could get tickets to Clippers games anytime you want. You want to go see Michael Olowokandi? Here's front row seats. Go right ahead. Put yourself through that. But if I move there now, you know, you got Chris Paul, you got Blake Griffin, you got Doc Rivers. Clippers are good. Meanwhile, the Lakers, they've got more questions than answers on that roster. Pau Gasol just bolted to Chicago. They have, you know, nearly 40-year-old Kobe Bryant coming off an Achilles and knee injury. They have Julius Randle, who is a promising young player, but he's just that, a young player. And they don't have much else. I mean, Steve Nash is 40. The future doesn't look as bright for the Lakers as the Clippers, for sure. So I guess if I had to choose, you know, gun to my head, I'd say Clippers. And honestly, I've liked the Clippers more than the Lakers in the past anyway, just because they did have that lovable loser quality. I mean, to a certain extent, that is endearing to a sports fan. You liked, like you said earlier, you almost like to buy that stock low and ride it to the top, because there is no sweeter feeling than supporting a team that has long been, you know, fallen on hard times and watching them grow into champions. Certainly. I don't think there's anything close to it. But, you know, this is a chance for a new start. I think I gotta ride the wave. I gotta go with the Niners. I'm most excited for the Golden State Warriors. A, because of Draymond. B, because they play an incredibly exciting brand of basketball. I mean, Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, that backcourt can light anybody up for 60 on any given night. I mean, you don't get that anywhere. That's a rare thing, even in the NBA.
Now, speaking of a new start, Tiger Woods today.
Oh, boy.
Just getting into the open, second round. Dropped a little bit back to even.
He did. He looked good yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
I did. He looked real good.
And did you tune to the Tiger special or no?
I watched a few minutes of it, because you can get it, you know, on ESPN3 anytime you want after it's aired. Watched a little bit of it, but, you know, I didn't see any nose picking or anything like that. Because, you know, who really wants to watch that? You know, I didn't see him. I didn't see him curse at all. I didn't see anything really exciting. Just, you know, a guy playing golf. And, you know, playing well, obviously, but today, clearly, falling back. What, McIlroy's at -9 now, at least?
Yeah, we'll get an update in a second, okay. Full leaderboard. But what I thought was nice about the Tiger cam was that it wasn't just all on Tiger. They showed Angel Cabrera. They showed his partners, which was nice.
So just his group.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought that was better than just on Tiger.
Yeah, I don't think you could honestly have that be a real broadcast. I mean, you might as well.
It did have a decision broadcast, so.
Well, that's
it
true.
Wouldn't put it past me.
I would. I certainly would have put it past ESPN to you know, ride that star power to as much, you know, as high a rating as they can get. But as far as Tiger at the British, I mean, he's got to be done, right? And what happens to that Tiger cam going forward, since he is way back?
Well, update here. Rory McIlroy actually at -10.
-10
through
now.
15. Francesco Molinari is next at second, 6 under. So McIlroy leads by 4 strokes. Also, Dustin Johnson, Jim Furyk, Ricky Fowler, all trail. Fowler, Johnson, and Moore all tied in second at 6 under. Furyk at 5 under. Sergio Garcia also at 5 under.
Sergio Garcia.
Woods shooting a Woods at 69. Yes, you know, yesterday.
He looks good. What's he at today?
Today, last time I checked, he was even. I'm gonna tell you in a second, but
see,
the point is everyone was hopping on the bandwagon yesterday. Oh, Tigers!
He's back.
Started off weak.
Back.
He's back. He's shooting -3. He's right where he needs to be. Typical open. Comes from behind, swoops up and wins it. But today, it's just a totally different story.
Right.
So I think you got to give him a couple months.
I think so, too. I think to think that he could do this in his first major back was crazy. I mean, and I know he won, what, the 2008 U.S. Open on one leg, basically. But, you know, this isn't 2008. That's going on 6 years ago. He's not the same guy. Who would expect him to be? You know, when you get older and your body breaks down like that, it's tougher to bounce back from injuries, especially ones as significant as the ones he had. So I think to expect him to win, if you put money on Tiger, that was foolish. I understand he's Tiger Woods, but, you know, he hasn't won a major in forever, you know, 5 years. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Alex, do you remember the bet we made with Al about how many majors Tiger would win this year?
I remember, but I don't remember what Al said.
I know I said zero, because that was I feel like that's a no-brainer.
I think I said two.
You might have said two. Al probably said one then. I think your guess of two was a little generous. He's going to have to get things in gear if he wants to get to that two number. I just don't see it happening. And I think the longer it goes, the worse it's going to get. I think it will maybe be 2015 before you see Tiger Woods hoist a trophy at a major championship. I really do.
I have some unfortunate news regarding Tiger. He now sits at plus three.
Plus three.
72nd place.
Yikes.
To his defense, he is leading over Bubba Watson. He is leading over Patrick Harrington. So you're getting
so, so when they go to the clubhouse, they'll go, well, at least I played better than
you. He is leading over Ernie Els. So he is still
You know the difference, though. Those guys don't have their own broadcast. We're not watching Ernie Cam. We're not watching Padraig Cam. We're certainly not watching Bubba Cam, although that'd probably be more entertaining than anybody. It's going to be interesting to see what they do if, A, he misses the cut, or, B, even if he doesn't miss the cut, if he's just way back. What is the point? Who's going to care? Tiger Woods.
And that's when the argument came yesterday.
12 strokes back.
Yeah, but that's when the argument comes where if Tiger is shooting poorly like he is today, I think people will turn off Tiger Cam.
I think they'd have to. I think you'd be stupid not to. I mean, what a waste. You know, he'll still get a check, I'm sure, but there's no drama there. Oh, is Tiger going to round into form on the last day? Maybe he can build some momentum going into the next major? No, not at all. I think it was a mistake to do it. I really do. I think if you were going to do it, you would have waited until you kind of saw how the tournament was unfolding and see if he had a legitimate shot at winning or at least competing for, you know, one of the top spots. Then maybe you do it and let him go, but it just seems like a waste of resources, waste of bandwidth from ESPN, just wasteful golf coverage, and you never like to see that. All right, Alex.
So, who's your pick to win it?
Who's my pick to win?
Rory? You going to go with Rory?
You know, Aaron Young and I were talking about that, former engineer for this program, still engineers for Current State in the mornings. We were talking about it, and it's just sort of a matter of time almost before Rory just implodes. And I feel like that's what everyone's kind of expecting. So I think if you are one of those guys that is tied for second a few shots back, you're just waiting in the weeds. You're waiting your turn. You're waiting for that implosion to happen. I mean, Friday's not even over yet. We still got a long way to go. There's still 36 holes at least to play. So I think you bide your time, stay within striking distance, and just wait for the opportunity. Because, you know, we've seen it 9 times out of 10 with McIlroy, where he plays well on the first 2 or 3 days, and then something happens and everything goes south. So I think, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable giving him the nod as the, you know, as my pick. But, you know, he's got a nice lead. I still think I would go with somebody else, though. One of the guys for second. Give me one of the guys for second.
Sergio's in a nice spot. I'm going to go with Sergio.
You're going to go with Sergio. It's amazing.
It's been a while for him.
It has been a while. It's been a long while. I can't really believe it. It's almost like there was that one tournament a few years ago where David Duval came out of nowhere and, like, challenged for the win. It's so interesting in golf how guys can go, you know, nearly a decade, you know, between being super relevant on a big stage like that, and then there they are, right in the thick of it. I could never see Sergio winning, though. But it's a bold pick. I'll give you that.
I mean, zero wins this year. He's been in the top 10 6 times this year.
So he's getting there. He's inching closer. But
8 career wins, 0 this year. I think he's due.
I don't think it's happening. I don't think it's happening. All right, Alex, let's take our second break here. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. More current sports after this. Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm Matt Ludke, filling in for Al Martin for the last time. Alex Arg is with me in the booth.
And Matt, at 150.
Oh boy.
Ranging 3 to 4 minutes, maybe a little bit more. Hopefully, I think he'll come in. We do have a special guest lined up for you at 150. So listeners, you may not hear this guest often, but he is around.
Okay.
Don't want to give too much away, okay. But you may have seen his name. You may have seen it on a WKR show. You may have seen his name in a newsletter, in a pamphlet, but you will hear him. You will hear his voice. Finally.
Intriguing.
In the next couple minutes.
Alex, so many tricks up your sleeve on my last day here.
Hey, you deserve it.
Oh boy. Well, thank you. Thank you. And you know, we are we're into what? Reflection Friday? This is it.
Boy.
This is a big one, too. This is my last one. Oh, brother. All right, well, you know what, Alex? We've talked a lot about, the future. Let's take a look in the rearview mirror here at the current sports run that I have had here.
Yeah, let's do it. And
should we dive into this?
Before we look at that current sports mirror of your run here,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to play for the listeners some of your best memories.
Oh boy.
Here on Current Sports.
And I'm going to be quizzing you guys in light of the script spelling bee.
I am nervous. N-E-R-V-O-U-S. Nervous. This is progress from, what, two seasons ago? I mean, at least he's not in, you know, police reports or anything.
Right, exactly.
He's just
right.
Not coming to camp.
Don't eat more of those.
It's going to be nice to see the Pistons celebrated as opposed to the current state of affairs. So it'll be nice to go back to the glory days of Bad Boys basketball. I am Matt Ludke. We will be back tomorrow, 1 p.m., tune your dials. We'll be back. Until then, have a safe and happy evening. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes.
Wow.
Matt Ludke's run. A couple clips over the year with Matt Ludke on Current Sports, from wishing the Bad Boys were back to just poking at some of those NFL players that are just making the wrong decisions. Right. Matt, you've had a great comical, witty run here, and the wittiness will go on.
It will.
Wherever you are.
It has been an absolute pleasure, Alex. I'm really glad, by the way, that you did not choose, Good Riddance by Green Day as the soundtrack to that little clip there. You had hinted that you were working on some production, and I was just praying that was not involved. And thank God it wasn't. So thank you for that. Well done. You did not have to do that. That was working late out of the kindness of your heart. I really appreciate that, Alex.
No problem. Hey.
Oh, man. It's been a great run.
Let's talk about...
Oh, boy.
I mean, from the hot dog eating competition...
Let's forget about that.
...to sing-offs on the air of misery.
Let's forget about that, too. I'm really hoping you don't have that one. Your finger over the button waiting to play that one. That might be the lowest point of... Oh, boy. That might be the lowest point of my career there. The cover of Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle. But, oh boy. No, we've had tons of fun on the show. Whether it's the spelling bee, the hot dog eating contest trivia. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun, you know, sharing the sports news with the listeners in the mid-Michigan area. And oh boy, here comes a special guest right now. Oh brother, he looks as nervous as I do to get on the mic here. Gary Reed.
Matt, thank you. I have to say that it's a pleasure to be on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Well, some years ago, about back in the 1970s, we had a sportscaster here, a guy that I was a friend and colleague of and was able to work with. That's Earl Robinson. Earl Robinson is a friend of this show. This was really his show for, you know, decades, almost 40 years. And one of the reasons that Earl was so popular, so revered, was that he was, in effect, an everyman. He certainly had opinions. He certainly liked teams. He didn't like others. But everybody that came on his show, in every conversation that he had with a caller or people in person, was really a very collegial, very human, very caring approach. And when Earl left a year and a half ago, that was the thing that I heard over and over and over and again from friends and callers and listeners and people on TV, that they really, really appreciated how Earl approach the show. And clearly Al has come on and done remarkable things. But I have to say, Matt, that you carried on in Earl's tradition, in that I've listened to your program over this past year or so. And even one of the other guests today that was trying to bait you about the Raiders and the Seahawks and Oakland and San Francisco, you didn't bite. And I think that is really a great tribute, because as a dear friend of mine, former general manager of WJR in Detroit and 23-year FCC commissioner Jim Quello used to say, it's important when you disagree to not be disagreeable. Mm-hmm. And you've done that. You've brought that to the table. And the thing that is really, I think, valuable and important to me is that the civil discourse on a sometimes heated topic of sports, you've been able to pull off. So I appreciate everything you've done. I also have to say that I am just envious as you strike out on a new adventure in life. San Francisco is my favorite city, with due respect to everything here in Michigan. But it's a wonderful place. You're a wonderful young man. And on behalf of everybody here at WKAR, I thank you for all you've done.
Oh, gosh, now I am blushing. Gary, thank you. And I really have to thank you. I remember it vividly. I want to say it was last March. You probably caught me surfing ESPN.com one too many times at my desk. You needed somebody to guest on the sports show, in the interim between the Earl and Al regimes, and you tapped on my desk and say, "Hey, what'd you think about jumping back in the studio today?" And the rest is history. I never thought I'd get the opportunity, and I, maybe always again, secretly harbored a desire to do it. Never thought it would actually happen, and I owe it all to you.
Well,
so thank you.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. I think our listeners also need to understand that Matt's been here for what, almost 6 years?
Almost.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And Matt is not only just the voice here on Sports Talk, but he handles all of our volunteers with about 110 people for the radio reading service. Matt handles telephones from all of the callers that come in. For everything, not on radio, but the TV station and the guide and everything else, and that's a challenge in and of itself. He's also worked for the business office and made deposits of all our money. So talk about a heavy hitter that hits them all.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I do what I can. I do what I can. And again, thank you. I mean,
yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
The opportunity to grow here has been invaluable. Thank you, Gary.
Great.
All right, we now have a caller. Alex is piping in. Caller on line one, Go ahead. You're on the air.
Matt, you already know who's calling in, brother.
I knew we'd get an Al Martin appearance sooner or later. Down to the wire, Al.
Yeah, well, you know what, man? I've been listening throughout the entire week. Fantastic job, as always, man. And a quick story. I know we've got about, 5 minutes before 2 o'clock hits. But, you know, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, Matt. You know, when I first got the job over at WKR, you know, Gary bringing me in and, you know, getting to meet Alex and you. And I tell you what, Matt, you were one of the guys who pushed me. And I say that because, you know, when I would go on the radio, new to me, never done the radio before. And you, of course, being the guy to hold down the fort when Earl had retired. And, you know, coming in and just the banter and constant discussions we would have in the world of sports with you. I mean, one of the things that really popped out to me, Matt, was just how knowledgeable you are about just every facet in the sports world. And it pushed me to come in and say, oh, man, I got to be on my game every time I step in this booth now. You know, because, man, you would bring up stats and bring up, you know, moments in history. And it really, really pushed me to become a better sports broadcaster and just more knowledgeable in the sports world. And, man, I want to say thank you for all of your hard work that you've done throughout your time. And, you know, with me knowing you at WKR, I wish you all the best out in San Fran. And I tell you what, this isn't the last time that people are going to hear your voice on WKR. You will still be a regular on the show. Trust me, man. I just want to say thank you, though, from the bottom of my heart, Matt, for all you've done, and wish you all the best in the world. The future is bright, brother. The future is bright.
Oh, Al, you are too kind. You are too kind. I do appreciate it. And you know, it's been so much fun, you know, watching the show grow. I feel like we have gotten so much better since the start. It is immeasurable. And it's been an absolute pleasure working with you. And you know, I've you know, because back when I hosted in the interim, certainly didn't run as smoothly as it does now. And a lot of that is attributed to you. You've got a system. You stick to it. And it seems to be working for us. It's been a pleasure, and like you said, this is not the last you've heard from me. I will be glad to call in, be a West Coast correspondent anytime right. You need me. Just give me a call.
Without a doubt, Matt's going to be our San Francisco, you know, Oakland Raiders insider all the time. All right, man. Hey, Matt, wish you the best, man, and the future is bright. I know you're going to do great things, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Al. All right. We got 1 minute left in the show here. I want to thank everyone at WKAR, from Gary Reed, Peter Worf, Susie Elkins, people working on the Current Sports Show, both TV and radio. Alex Sharg, thank you so much for all that you do. Aaron Young, even though, you know, you've moved on to Current State, you're getting a little political on us. You always had roots here, and I appreciated the work you did for us. Brad Walker, I'm going to forget people. If I did, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who has listened to Current Sports for the last year and a half. It's been an absolute pleasure talking sports with each and every one of you. Oh, boy. For the last time, signing off, I'm Matt Ludke. Stay tuned. Next week, we'll be back. Al Martin, your regularly scheduled programming, will return. Until then, take care. Have a great weekend. Have a great summer. I will be back soon. Do not worry. Take care, everybody.